I would like for you to turn in the Word of God to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. Genesis, chapter 50. We are studying together the life of Joseph. And in chapter 50, we learn this. Joseph's brothers did not believe that they were forgiven for what they had done to Joseph when he was younger. And they figured, Joseph is going to seek revenge someday. He will get us back. And it probably will happen when our father dies. Joseph hadn't done anything to them to indicate that he was going to try to get revenge. He'd never shown any attitude at all about doing something like that. I mean, why did they think that he was going to get revenge? I have a thought. Because that's probably what they would have done if he had done that to them. And too often, that's what people do. They try to get back. This message is going to be for all of us who are trying to get back at somebody. So that includes from the pulpit here, all of us. They did not know that they were secure in Joseph's forgiveness. You're in chapter 50. Would you notice verse 15? Genesis 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." But here's what they did not know. Verse 16. So, to try to protect themselves, they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded saying, 'Thus shall you say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did no evil to you. For they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.'" And notice Joseph's response. He wept when they spoke to him. He's brokenhearted to think that they thought that he was going to get revenge, get back at them. They did not realize the way Joseph was looking at them. Joseph's response to this proves it. Look at verse 21. Joseph says, "Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. All those years, they thought that Joseph hated them and that if he got the opportunity, he would get back at them. But during all those years, Joseph didn't have that attitude at all. He had a very forgiving spirit toward his brothers. You're not going to waste your life in bitterness against somebody, are you? Family member, friend, business associate. We can end up destroying ourselves. I'd like for you to listen to a verse. One author said, this is one of the most fundamental truths in all the Bible. I'll just quote it. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say to these things?" And here comes the part I want you to take home. If God is for us. Isn't that a great statement? If God is for us, we shouldn't be so worried about all these things. Now, after looking at this passage and seeing the attitude of Joseph's brothers, but then the attitude of Joseph and how forgiving he was. Now, remember, on a human plane, did he have good reasons why, well, the way they treated him and what happened to him? Yeah, it was pretty bad, some of the things he had to go through. But, of course, Joseph would remind them also, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. There were some good things that were going to come out of this. And I just trusted the Lord that he would work things out. So Joseph forgave them. I'd like to talk to you about what Jesus had to say about our attitude of forgiving people. And I know all of us have been through this many times probably. And you may be going through it right now. A particular difficult situation where a particular person did a certain thing that hurt you or your family or your ministry or your service for the Lord or something. So what are you going to do with it? I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 18. And I'd like for us to look at what Jesus Christ taught us about forgiveness. Once again, this is a passage I have gone to over and over again through the years of ministry. Matthew chapter 18. Notice verse 21. Then, stop right there. The reason that passage starts with then is because probably the disciples are already thinking about what Jesus just said in the previous passage. So the then really goes back to verse 17. Look at it. Jesus in this passage is talking about a brother who is offended. And verse 15, he says, if your brother sins against you. But then look what he says. And if he refuses to hear them, verse 17, tell it to the church. If he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. In other words, what that passage is saying is, Jesus taught there are situations where the sinfulness of a person refusing to repent of it and make it right eventually has to be dealt with in a local church. We are not allowed to live any way we want. I am a Christian. I should live by the Bible. I am a part of this church. I need to be in fellowship with the Lord and with each of you. And I need to live a life that is a good testimony in this community. There is a point, I think five times in my ministry, five painful times, I went through public church discipline after going through horrendous weeks and months of trying to bring reconciliation and with the people involved. And I hated to go through it, but I had to do it for the testimony of Christ and for the testimony of the church. Now, Jesus has just said that. Then, on the heels of what he just said, in other words, whoa, what he just said, we have a question. He says, then, verse 21, Peter came to him. And he said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now notice, Peter says, how often my brother. That tells us we're talking about Christian to Christian. Not so much the unsaved world, but us. So Peter says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? Kind of interesting the way Peter puts that. Not that he had sinned against, what if I sinned against somebody else, but what if somebody sins against me? You catch Peter's attitude there? Then he says, now what he's going to say is what the rabbis taught in Jesus' day. He says to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times, right? That's what the rabbis said. Peter thought that was pretty generous. Do you know what Peter's wanting? He wants a rule to apply in decisions of forgiveness. Stop making rules. This is what too many Christians have done through all the centuries. Let's write a rule about it. So all of a sudden you go to the church. What do you do here? And they don't quote Bible verses. They'll say, well, here's a rule book. Now, it doesn't mean that there shouldn't be standards. It doesn't mean that there cannot be methods written down. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, when it comes to this area of forgiveness and the reconciliation within the body of Christ, it's not about writing rules. Peter wants Jesus to say, well, Peter, you can go this far and no further. Peter wants to be able to measure it. Tell me, Lord, how far do I have to go? It's not about a rule, Peter. Why is that true? Because in our relationships, among believers in the church, forgiveness and dealing with sinfulness, it's about relationships with each other. And it is about trusting the Holy Spirit to guide us as to what to say and what to do in a particular situation. It's not a rule. It's trusting the Holy Spirit. What has happened to believers trusting the Holy Spirit through the guidance of God's Word in handling personal relationships and problems? So we're not looking for rules. We're looking for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit's been given to us, to guide us in our relationships. So when Peter says this, Jesus tells a parable. I've always been interested. You've probably heard me tell this, that the older ministers who helped me so much through my, particularly in the early years of my ministry. But when I would give them a situation and ask them about a church problem or a particular thing, how you do it, they would tell me a story. And I listened to them tell a story about, well, what they went through and what they did and, you know, from years before. And I sometimes would walk away and think, you know, every time I ask these guys a question, they tell me a story. And one day it hit me, when they asked Jesus a question, he told them a story. And that's what he does here. Peter has a question. I want to measure it, Lord. You tell me how many times? 5 times? 7 times? I want to do that and no more. Jesus tells him a story. Here's the parable. The parable is given to us in verses 22 through 27 And the key is not going to be a rule. The key is going to be a particular word which expresses the attitude or spirit of a person involved in a conflict with another person. Let me give you the word. In verse 27, do you see the word compassion? In verse 33, do you see the word compassion? So in verse 27, it says, moved with compassion. Verse 33, should you not also have had compassion? If you don't know what the word compassion means, two words, come with passion, suffer. It's when we, in our spirit, suffer with someone else. We put ourselves in their situation. We have compassion. And that's what Jesus is going to emphasize. Now let me read the parable. Verse 22. And Jesus said to Peter, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And I think Peter knows he didn't mean 490 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like a certain king. This king is representing God, who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant, therefore, fell down before him. Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave him the entire debt. It was an impossible amount to pay. And this man's idea was, please, just give me time. That was his idea. Jesus said, but God's idea, I've completely forgiven it all. It is a picture, an illustration. That Jesus told this so that we see God's total forgiveness of us. When dealing with our sins at the point of salvation, all our debt has been paid by Christ, and we are free forever from it. How wonderful. But now look at the contrast. Jesus goes on in verse 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, please have patience with me, and I will pay it. But get this, he would not. So I notice in verse 27, moved with compassion. Verse 33, shouldn't you have had compassion? In verse 30, no compassion. But went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that he had done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers of the jailers until he should pay all that was due to him. Then Jesus said, "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Oh my. There was something wrong with that man's heart. After having been forgiven himself, he would not forgive somebody else. You say, does that happen? Mm-hmm. After having been forgiven, listen, I have not lived a perfect life. I am thankful for the people who have forgiven me. I've tried to do right after that, but they did forgive me when I... But some people aren't forgiving. And Jesus said, it's like being in prison. That man was delivered to jail. What Jesus is saying is, if we do not forgive our brother or sister, it's like living in jail. Now listen carefully. It doesn't mean that that person who has hurt us or sinned against us, if we forgive them, it doesn't mean that they won't face consequences. But not from me. Stop envying people who sin against you or anyone. You don't need to. I can forgive people and commit them to the Lord. I can forgive them so that I don't live in prison. Because if I don't forgive them, all my life it bothers me. And I think about it, what they did to me and what should have been done. And I wish it was this, and I don't have this because of that. Stop. Jesus said, you don't want to live in prison. Forgive people. And again, it doesn't mean that they can live however they want. They will face the consequences of their sin, no doubt. But I still can forgive them. Commit them to the Lord and let Him deal with them. Let me ask this question, because you may be thinking this. Why is forgiveness so hard? Why is it that so many Christians will not forgive other people? I have a couple thoughts for you. Forgiveness is hard because we think it takes away the tool that allows us to punish the person who hurt us. If I don't forgive them, I still got them by the neck. Oh, hello. That's what this says. And second thought, forgiveness is hard because in forgiving someone, we think that we might put ourselves in the place of being hurt again. Well, if I don't get them by the neck, they'll do it to me again. We need to stop thinking like that. We have to choose to forgive people. It doesn't condone their sin. It doesn't mean that they won't face consequences. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't make certain things right or change some things. But you know what? I can't change people. They'll have to go to God and ask Him to change them. But for me, I have had so many people, I don't want this to sound weird, I've had so many people through all the years of ministry with all the stuff I've dealt with. I mean, those of us in ministry deal with this all the time. I mean, so many situations and circumstances. If I didn't practice the scripture and forgive people, I would be so burdened down emotionally and spiritually that I wouldn't be able to function. And you know what I probably would do? Walk out of church and say, I'll never go again. I'm tired of it. No. Jesus would say, why don't you forgive them? After all, I forgave you of everything. You're totally forgiven. Just forgive them and commit them to me. And that's what I have tried to do. I have tried to forgive people and then commit them to the Lord. So, rhetorical question. Right now you're thinking about somebody or some situation and you won't forgive them. You haven't said that, but you just don't. Why don't you make a decision today? I am going to forgive them. Now, whether or not you need to say that to them, that's up to you. You follow the Holy Spirit's leading, not a rule. And just choose to forgive them, treat them right. You say, well, I don't think they deserve it. Hello, nor do we. Right? God's forgiven us. This is powerful truth. Christians are forgiven people who ought to be forgiving people. I mean, we've forgotten the unconditional forgiveness that we've been given. Colossians 1, Ephesians 4, it talks about God has forgiven us. And it even says it this way. Forgive your brother or your sister as God has forgiven you. Notice, that's a good reason for us to forgive others. I'm not condoning their behavior because I forgive them. I know I've repeated that several times, but I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying that I don't deal with sin in the church. No, that's a different situation. I'm just talking about my attitude of forgiveness toward people. And I can tell you right now, there's some situations come to my mind, and I choose to forgive. Otherwise, we will accumulate an assortment of grievances in our hearts, and my memory vault will be overloaded. And I won't even be able to sleep at night thinking about, well, these people, what they did or said, and stop. I'm going to turn it over to you, Lord. You may never have heard this song. I don't know. We're not going to sing it, but I have the lyrics in my notes this morning. I will tell you this. Of all the songs, and I have many that I like, this song is one that's way up at the top of the list of one of the most meaningful songs for me. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times and I've heard it, but every time I listen to it being sung and I listen to the lyrics of it, it speaks to my heart because it's about forgiving people. The song is called, I Then Shall Live. It's written by David Phelps and Gloria Gaither. Listen to the words. There's just three stanzas. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am His child, and I am not afraid. So, greatly pardoned, I'll forgive my brother. The law of love I gladly will obey. Stanza 2. I then shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so loved that I'll risk loving too. I know how fear builds walls instead of bridges. I'll dare to see another's point of view. And when relationships demand commitment, then I'll be there to care and follow through. And finally, your kingdom come around and through and in me. Your power and glory, let them shine through me. Your hallowed name, oh, may I bear with honor, and may your living kingdom come in me. The bread of life, oh, may I share with honor, and may you feed a hungry world through me. Amen, amen, amen. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven, and I'll forgive others. Lord, there's some things that we know we can't do. Being human, having an old nature. But we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And because you are our Savior and Lord. Lord, we pray we will leave here today. And maybe it'll only take place privately in a heart or some hearts of this congregation. But no doubt there's somebody here who needs in his or her heart to say, Lord, I have lived in this prison long enough. She may never say she's sorry, or he may never do what's right, but I'm going to choose to forgive. And then, Lord, I've turned them over to you, and so I need to leave them in your hands. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to do things that we can't do in our own strength. May we have compassion, as Jesus said, for those who don't deserve it. In Jesus' name.